adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah. Angie Everhart's coming in here tomorrow, and then Jeremy McGrath will be in here the following day. Yes, Drew.
Yes, Adam.
It's weird, you know, just coming back after a lengthy layoff. And we don't go, you know, we're away for the show for, what, 11, 12 days, something like that?
Yeah, we don't, that's rare for us.
Yeah, we don't go that long without working ever. And I just realize I can immediately settle into whatever environment I'm in almost immediately. Like,
right.
I was going to bed. I was drinking a bottle of wine a day.
Well,
easily.
That's unusual?
No, yeah, it is.
Why?
Because usually I drink three bottles. No, usually I don't have time. I come home from work.
Drink a half a bottle.
Yeah, drink a half bottle. Yeah, I come home at 12:30 at night, have a couple glasses of wine, and that's that.
Yeah.
But now, popping the bottle of wine, it gets dark at 5. I pop the thing at 7:30. Mm-hmm. Right, it's like 10 o'clock. Hey, what happened to the bottle?
Now what do I do?
Bottle's gone. You know what I do? You know, it's a psychological thing for me. I'll tell my wife, like, hey, take a sip. And she'll be like, yeah, I don't want to. Just take a sip. Then she takes a sip and gives it back to me. And it's like, all right.
Didn't drink a whole bottle.
Yeah, she drank part of the bottle. She drank at least half.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I went to bed last night at 11. I got up about 11. I went to bed at 11. I got up about 10:30. Got out of bed about 11.
I did some 12-hour days.
Yeah, I got zero problem with this.
Yeah.
I'm walking around sort of half erect in sweatpants and mucklucks, wearing like three shirts. All T-shirts,
muttering to yourself,
just talking to myself, wearing a beanie everywhere, making plans about leaving the house. Well, where are we gonna go? You want to go to a movie? Well, what time is it? Well, it's only 1:30. I mean, let me get up.
It is weird when you don't have structure, isn't it? You're not quite. The day goes by, and you're like, I think I did a lot today, or maybe I did nothing.
Well, maybe I should leave. Yeah, you leave. I left the house like average time leaving the house like 3:35. Just like coming out, looking around, making like had ideas about stuff. We should see a movie. I made the movie proclamation like 700 times during the last 11 days.
My wife gave me
a movie.
That.
We're going to take in a movie.
My wife gave me that. This is why we have to leave for vacation. We have to go somewhere and do something. She's kind of right. When you're away, it makes you do something.
It's amazing how fast what I was thinking of? I was thinking about some elderly person you visit in the hospital, so vibrant, so alive, and then they broke their hip.
Yeah.
And you're looking at them, and it's 2 months later, and they're sort of yellow, and they got the weird snot stuff in their eye, and they look all dead and weird, and their teeth are yellow. And you think, what the hell happened? This kid was the most vibrant 73-year-old I've ever met. Now it looks like he's on death's doorstep. Life is one of those. It's weird. It took me about a week and a half just to realize I could just walk around in my pajamas for another 50 years. Someone have to come extract me. And it made me think, like you thought, I'm sure, you need some boundaries. You need
structure.
Some structure.
Yeah, you need structure.
Or you'll just spin off.
Yeah.
And this, by the way, this is why welfare doesn't really work.
That's
because if somebody said, like, look, you can maintain this. You can keep your sweatpants on. You never have to take the mucklucks off. We'll give you enough. You got enough for your bottle of wine.
Well, first you go, no, I get bored. No, I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
do
but after month number eight, that's it.
You're stuck.
You're just carved into the sofa. Yeah. Not going anywhere. And like 30 different forms of heat. Got the fireplace going. Got the heater going. Got the hot blanket going. Got the space heater.
All right.
Yeah. No.
Let's get reconnected with our callers.
No. Nicole?
Yes.
You're 22. And by the way, let me say this, too.
Yeah.
You want to know how you've arrived? When you get presents that you don't open until Christmas, even though you get them a week in advance from somebody you work with or something, where somebody hands you a box at work, hey, this is, say, it's Friday. We're not going to see you for a couple of weeks, so enjoy. And they go open it, and you go, no, I'll put it under the tree, and then you get around to it. That's how you've arrived, because there was a day when you would have tore through it using your teeth, and that means you're desperate. See what I'm saying, Drew?
I got it.
All right, you got that?
Where you have kids and you're required to follow a ritual.
Nicole?
Yes.
You're 22.
Mm-hmm.
No, hold on. If you got kids and someone at work hands
they
you
want,
a present.
They want to see stuff around the tree. They want everyone to open it the same day.
I just mean if someone hands you a present at work, you could open it
at work.
You
could open it. You could, but your kids like to see you do it with them and open you know, stuff all
the
stuff
fact that the you don't care anymore means you've arrived or you're waiting
you're
to
right.
die.
You're right. Both.
All right, Nicole. Sorry about Drew. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm with a guy now who hasn't had a girlfriend since he was in high school. And he's 26 now. He's going to be 27 on Tuesday. And I don't even, like, feel the need to want to have sex or anything. When I was 14, I was molested.
14? By whom?
Yeah. And,
but by whom?
By,
whom is the same as who?
I'm sorry?
Whom is the layperson's way of saying who?
He was a close friend of the family. He's actually the priest of our church. Kumbaya,
the priest molested you.
Did you? This has never been reported before. Did you report this?
No, I haven't.
You've never reported it.
And when you say, I don't want to take you back to that horrible episode, but molest, you mean have had sex with you?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
14 is usually more of like a rape.
That's a rape.
Right?
Okay.
That also usually means that you were sexually abused by somebody else when you were little.
No, I wasn't.
Really? Nothing happened?
So before 14, nothing happened, no abuse of any kind?
No neglect? You weren't a foster child? Or?
No.
All right.
That doesn't fit.
All right, doesn't fit, but we'll move forward anyway. So he had sex with you, and that's it? That's the only time it happened?
No, it happened a few times.
Did you think you were having a relationship with him?
No, not at all.
How come you didn't say no? This is not to mean that you could have, but I'm just wondering what was going through your mind.
Well, could have.
Well, what happened was me and my sister, we had to live with him for a little bit because my dad was a compulsive gambler, and he actually got us evicted from our house.
Where was your mom?
She's around. My parents are still married. They've been married for 37 years.
So your dad, was he an alcoholic also?
No, nobody was an alcoholic. But my parents were normal, just my dad was a compulsive gambler.
Well, usually other addictions go, not always, but usually other compulsions go along with the gambling, other addictions.
I mean, he wasn't into drugs or alcohol.
All right. Drew, let's hold on a second. I forgot about this pace.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to dial it down.
I know.
Like our metronome's like tick, 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 and it's like tick, tick.
Yeah, Nicole, it's like she's 22.
Okay.
She should have some of these things figured out.
Nicole, so you're with a guy. You're not that interested in him.
You were sexually abused. You were at least you were mishandled sexually at a very young age by somebody who you trusted. You need to get some help with all this.
How about therapy?
It's going to be very difficult for you to be intimate with somebody. Of course, sex is going to be something you're going to associate with traumatic and unpleasant things. And the kinds of people you're going to be attracted to, in fact, interestingly enough, will tend to be people that sort of reenact some of this stuff. So maybe even a little bit self-protective not to be involved with somebody more intimately than you are.
I mean, I'm very happy with my boyfriend and everything. It's just I'm kind of, like, feeling that if I never have sex again in my life, I really don't care, you know.
I understand
don't dump him and get some therapy.
That's not normal. Sexual attachment is an important part of a relationship. He's going to be very interested in that.
Yes.
And it's normal.
All right.
Not to want anything
keep
to do with
him,
that.
Keep him, get
normal.
Some therapy, and throw him a maintenance BJ every once in a while just to sort of keep his edge off just a little bit.
Something very else happened, Nicole, guaranteed.
Yes.
Something big time.
Yes.
Yeah, the gambling... Mm-mm. Dad.
Yeah. Shane?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was talking to my mom the other night, and we were talking about the morning after pill,
mm-hmm.
and she just did not believe me that it's not an abortion pill.
Okay.
And I could never, I knew, it, like, I know you talk about this often, so.
Can't wait to start out 2004, but with this pill. It's going to be available. Finally, the FDA is going to get around this. We're all going to have it over the counter.
Yeah, that's what I told her, and she said, oh, I don't know about that. And I said, listen to Loveline tomorrow night because I'm going to get on there, and I'm going to have Drew tell you why
right.
it's not an abortion pill.
All right, Shane, so what would an abortion, how would an abortion pill work? If it were an abortion pill, how would it work?
Well, she was saying that Well, I told her that if the egg is already fertilized, then it's too late.
That's right.
Yeah.
It has a theoretical potential to interfere with that, about the same as the usual way you take the birth control pill, and about equal to several anti-inflammatory medications.
All right. Well, hold on. Let's just break this down for a second. A egg is dropped or released.
Yes, from the ovary.
Like once a month.
Once a month.
That's the ovulation period.
That's the ovulation.
Right?
That's what that means.
Usually a couple of weeks after the period. Usually.
Yes.
All right. So it's just one day. Now, there's a few days out of the month they can get pregnant, or just one day?
One day.
But the sperm can hang out for about 3 days.
Exactly.
All right. Then the sperm fertilizes that egg if it comes across it that it happens to be down there.
Then it moves down the tube, takes a couple days to get to the uterus and implant.
Right.
And there are certain medicines that...
Now, when you say down the tube, you mean up the tube, right?
Let's take pictures out.
Holy Christ, Shane. Now he's got the book out.
All right, here we go.
That's always trouble. When you say down, are we moving toward her feet or toward her chin?
Towards the middle. They move feet down.
Okay,
down the tube.
Right. Moves
they go
down.
Up and then down. They start here and they go down the tube.
Yeah, well, how does the sperm get all the way up there?
The sperm goes, here's where the sperm gets
goes
put in
the vagina.
It swims its way up to here. This is where the sperm meets the egg, is up here.
Up there. All right. Then it comes down, goes down.
And implants in the uterus here.
Well, that's the vagina.
No, the vagina's down here.
Oh, really?
This rib thing.
Yo. All right, what do I know? So, here's the thing. This, then, what does the morning after pill do?
Prevents the egg from being released. That's its predominant mechanism of action, just the way birth control pill taken every day works. Birth control you take every day can also interfere with implantation, maybe a tiny bit.
Now, how would it interfere with implantation? The sperm is coming up the tube, the egg is coming down the tube.
The lining of the uterus is altered by these doses of hormones.
All right.
And think about it. It's only double dose of your usual birth control pill. Does it make sense that the double dose would profoundly alter the implantation?
Well, does it make sense that Noah would look up to the heavens and build an ark? I mean, you're dealing with retarded people here.
Well, we don't know that Shane's mom's retarded.
Let's just play it safe and call her retarded.
So Shane, the only argument against the morning after pill would be to argue that all substances that have even a theoretic potential of interfering with implantation should be eliminated. So that would be Celebrex, Vioxx, Bextra, and all birth control pills.
Okay,
because they all have a theoretical potential. It's not RU-486. It doesn't abort the fetus. It doesn't allow the egg from getting to the sperm.
And by the way, I'm just a realist atheist here. There's just a huge difference between things that are microscopic, never coming to being, and things that are taking human form.
Well, I understand that's your position, but you don't have to argue that even. You don't have to get into that discussion because it doesn't enter into this at all.
Well, even if it does to me, because the very basis of your argument is not all that strong,
right,
because it's not really anything at this stage.
What you could say, though, and I actually happen to adhere to this, is that what you know for sure is that it may not be human life that moment, but it's going to be in 9 months. It's definitely not going to be a lizard, not going to be a donkey, going to be a human being.
Right, right.
And you're interfering with that potential.
But you can keep sort of extrapolating and get back to your sperm not being wasted and that kind of stuff if you really want to get nutty about it. And I just see things in shades of gray, and this is, you know, this is as pale as it gets. I mean, it's like we said, like, nothing more tragic than one of your children getting cleaned out by a drunk driver on his graduation day from high school, and slightly less tragic is dying at 2 years old of some sort of, you know, birth defect, and slightly less is born, stillborn, or SIDS, and then stillborn, and then a spontaneous abortion. You know, it goes all the way back.
Right.
This is at the beginning of the tragedy train.
Mm.
This, you know, if you're trying to conceive a baby and you find out your wife's pregnant, and the next week she aborts spontaneously, very sad. Not nearly as bad as the kid drowning on the third birthday.
Yeah,
it just isn't. I don't care what your God is. I don't care who you pray to. It's just not. All right. Thank you. Where are we, Drew?
Line 6.
Do we help Shane?
Let's see if he has any more questions. I like Shane.
I like Shane, too. Shane?
Yeah.
All right. Did your mom hear that?
Yeah, I think so. And
what's your mom's name?
Yeah. I read your book.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, I love it. It really helped me understand the addiction process. And
well, thank you.
And it was very interesting.
Thank you. It's called Cracked, for those of you that want to read something worthwhile. I think it's a good book.
What's your mom's name, Shane? Let's give her a shout-out.
Christy.
Ooh, Christy?
It's kind of a hot mom name. You tell her to start calling herself Chris.
Well, wait a minute. You're 19. You at school or something?
Yeah, I'm at college.
University of Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah, those kids are smart at University of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, you go with Chris. Christy's a hot, it's a hot chick name.
So you just want to call her, yeah, Chris is more of a mom name.
That's my mom's name.
Yeah.
Ouch. Oh, my God, yeah, no.
You don't actually have to have a physical reaction. You have to shudder when you speak your mom's name. Do you?
No, I'm just thinking about her in a sexual way.
Oh, that's good.
It's not a hot,
I feel that's much better.
Although, yeah. But, you know what, I think Christy may be sort of our generation hot chick name.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe your dad, it's like, oh, Gertrude is a hot name.
Yeah. Christy, it was Christy Brinkley, Christy.
Just Christy.
And that was the later edge of that whole Christy
there's
wave.
There's no super fat, big calf chicks named Christy. That's just, it's a hot name. Mallory?
Yeah.
You know what they should do, by the way?
Mm.
When I'm in charge, this is how we'll do it. You want to call your kid Christy, the kid's got
to
be hot.
They got to live up to it.
So we know.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, buddy, I want to set you up with a chick. What's her name? Gertrude? No, thanks. What's her name? Christy. Fine. Bring her on.
You can't call it a monster truck if it's not monster truck.
You can't slap the Mercedes logo on a Volkswagen and call it a Mercedes. Yeah.
That's right.
If you want to, you go ahead and call your kid Christy. Or maybe another hot name like Sam.
So maybe
but they got to be hot.
A new ritual.
I'll
a new
decide.
Ritual.
Yeah.
At 13, we assign them their name.
Call them what you want up until that point.
Yeah, and then?
At 13, I assess them and decide where they can keep it. So it's like...
Or what they might be assigned.
Take a look at Christy. Christy, look at her. Turn her around. Take a thump on her. No. You're Tammy. That means you're going to be a prostitute. Sorry, sweetie. Next. Mallory?
Yeah.
See, that's kind of a hot chick name, too. I would have had to look at you a couple of years ago. You're 15 now?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's too late now. I'll let you keep the name. Are you cute?
I guess.
Okay. I'll look into it.
Reconsider, yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm a lesbian, and... Mm-hmm. Me and this girl have been going out for a while, like 3 months-ish, and we're really serious and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, her mom is really homophobic, mm-hmm. and she, like, finally found out, so mm-hmm. her mom won't even let us, like, see each other unless it's in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to know if there's, like, anything, like, we could do to maybe, like...
Were you having sex with her?
Yeah.
How'd her mom find out?
She overheard one of her conversations on the phone.
All right, well, that would be sort of, whether it was with a guy or a girl, that would be sort of a normal mom reaction.
Yeah. And so when you say having sex, you having oral sex with her?
Yeah.
And what's your deal? You ever molested?
Yeah.
Mm.
There you go.
What happened?
Dad. It was my ex-boyfriend, and yeah.
What? Huh?
How old were you? Ex-boyfriend, yeah.
How old were you?
I was 14 last year. It was last year.
And how old was he, 19?
He was 16.
So he raped you?
Yeah.
Well, what happened before that?
Something happened.
Before that, nothing really.
Were you physically abused or something?
Well, my mom used to hit me around a bunch, but...
There you go. Mm. There you go.
All right. Well, listen, Mallory, your girlfriend, her mom is concerned. Here's what's going on, Mallory. I'll just make it fast, because it's the new year. And one of my resolutions is to keep all these phone calls under 20 minutes. So here's what happened. Your dad's, I don't know where, your mom's physically abusive, maybe an alcoholic. Usually when people smack their kid around, they've been drinking a little bit.
No.
No drinking? Worse than.
No dad.
No excuse. But where's your dad?
My dad lives in Hickory Hills. They got divorced when I was 3.
He's out in Hickory Hills.
Because he was an alcoholic and abusing your mom?
No, he wasn't abusing my mom. They just stopped. getting along. And
imagine if you work at if you're in Hickory Hills, you have to work at like a jerky farm or something, or you have to make
distillery.
those long burning logs.
I'm also just imagining somebody putting, you know, distilling something into a jug with three X's on it.
Hickory Hills. Hickory Hills is in what state, Mallory?
Illinois.
All right. So you don't see your dad too much?
Every other weekend, actually.
No, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. Your girlfriend's mom wants you guys to slow it down.
So do
you're
we.
You're 15.
So do we.
We sort of agree. Is your mom abusive to you anymore?
No. We have our arguments like every other teenager and mom do. But
she doesn't hit you.
No.
All right. Good. So listen. Here's your job. Your job is to...
Not to get pregnant.
You can't get pregnant.
Well, but she swings both ways, it seems.
Take it easy with the guys.
Yeah.
If you're with a guy, you got to use protection.
Yeah. Hmm? I'm not too fond of guys anymore.
Good. So be it. Why don't you get your grades up, and you study hard, and you go off to one of these lesbian colleges in San Francisco.
Massachusetts, be fair.
Or Massachusetts, yeah. All right. Look, I don't have any great. There's no big question here. I mean, what are we going to do? Tell you, punch her mom in the stomach and smack her with a Birkenstock and then go down on her daughter. Like, here's the thing: lesbian. Whether the relationship is considered a sort of taboo relationship or not, when you're talking about young people that are engaging in sex and a parent intervening, we're not going to take your side.
Not at 15.
Not at 15. Yeah. Right. All right. Hey, well, good times. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We've got a little Germany, a little New Year's Germany or Florida coming up all after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. You know what I like to do? I'm enjoying my Christmas tree and sort of lamenting getting rid of it.
Mm.
Looks nice. Smells good. It really works. And, you know, I think with proper care, if you get a decent tree at the right time, you get 3 weeks out of it.
Well, you can buy them live and potted year-round.
Ooh.
Keep it right down the end of that living room.
Yeah.
Problem is they dry out. They're hard to keep alive.
Hey, I just mean I want somebody just to bring me in a new tree every, 22 days.
So like flowers.
Yeah, like flower people service. Do that.
Yeah.
Well, a tree's, you know, $40, $50. But if you're really talking about once a month kind of thing, it's a little service. Guy's got to schlep it up the stairs, wrap the thing around it.
You got to put the ornaments on and off too. Someone's got
to
do that.
It's gonna run you. It's gonna run you $100 a month to keep a good looking 7 foot noble or spruce, fir Christmas tree decked out 24/7, 12 months out of the year. I think it would be a better year. I think you'd feel nice coming. You'd be like the dog days of August.
Yeah, but you'd never have a special time of year.
Take it down.
Oh,
that's what
that would be special.
It's very special during the last weeks of December when you take the tree down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying it's the dog days of August. Remember how it was last year? It's like 130 degrees at night. It was like oppressive and brutal. You come walking in, you through the door. It's like one of those Lipton iced tea commercials, sweat all over your back. So you see that Christmas tree. Either you feel better or you go into some sort of blind rage and kill your family.
Yeah.
Or you just freak out and
Either
start attacking
way.
The tree. All right. I'm toying with it now. I'm just saying I like the smell of the thing.
I expect to see it. I expect to visit you in April, May, June, and see the tree there.
That pine is nice.
Can you believe how hot it was when this land of ours just combusted?
Yeah.
It was 6 weeks ago.
I know. Ben?
Hello?
Ben, you have a Germany or Florida for us?
What's going on, guys? It's really cool to talk to you guys.
Oh, it's great to be back. First, Germany or Florida, the new year, by the way, Ben.
Yes, it is. That's really cool. Ooh. And I just wanted to say, Drew, I read your book.
Thank you, Ben.
Really great book.
Thank you.
I'm actually renting it from the library. Too poor to buy it. But it was really great.
You read it. All I want is people to read it. I really don't care about the buying it.
Actually, there's something more flattering about the idea of somebody renting it from the library, by the way. Don't you think?
Absolutely. The fact that the library has it. The library has it is
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a nice library.
All right.
I bet.
Kind of poor, you know. They have the three decimal system, but just a guy named Dewey that finds your books, so, you know.
I haven't... I mean, I got the snare drum for you. Sorry, Ben. I got one, but you know. I haven't, hang on a second, I haven't thought about this for a while, but the Corollas, as I've mentioned on other occasions, were frequent library. They frequented the libraries and checked out records.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad, that's the records. Yeah, went down the library.
I'm surprised they had it together enough to do that. I'm surprised they just didn't sit and listen to the records at the library.
I don't think you can.
That used to be the thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
my dad would rent them, and it's like Herb Alpert's greatest hits, but it's 11 years old, and God knows what kind of condition. You know, please, it's all warped from sitting in the car. It's like, you know, if you rent records, you're basically a retard. You're
comes
a retarded
in a brown
person.
Rapper.
Comes in a brown wrapper,
yeah.
The big thing, like a smiley record and a car that's frowning and, you know, and a sun that's smiling, saying, no, don't leave this in your car. It will warp. And by the way, do we need to pay for this so that 40-something-year-old losers can go down and get the latest Brazil 66 record? You know, like... Here's my whole thing about it. It's like you can't use food stamps to buy caviar and cigarettes. You shouldn't be able to go to the library and check out records. Like, look, if you can't get it together, we're not here to entertain. We're here to educate and provide some sort of nominal.
Now they just provide internet access and that kind of thing.
All right. That's it. Renting records at the library. Isn't a man of 43? Holy Christ. Ben?
Adam. By the way, I've seen so many funny people, and they're funny in spurts like a cheetah. But you, funniness just flows from you constantly.
Thank you.
I don't understand.
Like a water buffalo.
Does it hurt?
It hurts others. I was leaving for work tonight. My wife looked at me and goes, "Finally, you can start talking again." And she started like, "Who else makes fun of me?"
I mean, she was having to absorb all the energy that I normally take every night.
Yes,
I got to call your wife.
You need to write a book, and you need to call it "Mended."
Thank you.
Mended.
Cracked. Mended. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Ben. Are you giving us a Germany or Florida or not?
All right, I got your bone. Okay. Ooh. This is a 59-year-old man, lives by himself. He turns senile. They found out he fell down some stairs and broke his shoulder. And they put a brace and a bolt, an actual metal bolt, in his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
They left him there overnight after the surgery, and they came back the next morning, and he had bitten through his own shoulder and gotten the bolt out of himself.
The screw, not a bolt.
Yeah, with his teeth.
Yeah, uh-huh. Florida.
Right. Then they couldn't find it, and they x-rayed him, and he had swallowed it.
It was in his belly, so he...
You know, stories like that, those almost don't apply. I could regale you with bizarre medical stories. And they occur in every state and every country.
Now, if you break a bone badly, they'll put a bolt in it.
Depending on where it is,
or put a screw in it.
Yeah.
And it's essentially almost like a wood screw. They'll just tap it.
Orthopedics, carpentry.
Don't kid yourself. And you hear, rods. Now, how's the pin work?
That's what it is. It's a screw.
It's a pin. Oh, I was supposed to get a pin in my shoulder once. I never did. All right, ready to rock here, Doug?
Yeah, there we go.
Let's talk to... Stacy is 25. Stacy?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well.
Enjoy the show.
Thanks.
Both of you. And Drew, I do have your book. I have yet to read it.
Thank you.
Wow.
But I'm going to start on it.
This book did well over the holidays.
Yeah,
I think.
Everyone's
talking about it.
Everyone's
well, that's
it.
The time for addiction, if nothing else.
You're right. Sure.
I have, you know, just a quick comment. Here's the thing. I'm calling you from San Francisco, but I'm from Hawaii. Mm. And I don't know whether you know about it or not, but your show's been pulled. And it's been off the air for about close to 2 weeks.
We know about it in Hawaii, in Honolulu.
You know, it's horrible because let me tell you something. You have a huge fan base in Hawaii. You got a lot of young people listening to you. I even signed a petition at a Starbucks. People really want the show back. But anytime, you know, the radio station owners are contacted, all they say is, well, you know, we've had outraged people calling up. Turns out it's just a handful of people. There was an article in the paper written by a biased I don't know, she's a frustrated playwright that also writes for our Honolulu Advertiser. And she just bashed your show, and she printed a segment, a short exchange between the both of you that
yeah.
I find offensive, and I'm part Hawaiian. I
wow.
thought it was funny.
Well, I Drew called me that's about a week and a half
yeah.
ago, maybe a week ago, and said, did you hear what happened in Hawaii? And Drew's such an over-exaggerator, I just told him to forget about it and leave me alone.
And then I did.
And then you did. But then Drew's wife started yelling
yeah.
at me because she likes to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And she doesn't think we're going to be able to get off the plane.
Yeah, angry mob.
Well, here's
that's the way they led us to believe, by the way. I was like, there was an angry mob at the radio station. The radio station really blew it out of proportion. But it's an interesting thing you bring up, which is that letter writers and complainers get unbelievable attention by people who own and program radio and television. It's
you're
unbelievable.
Right. And
oh, by the way, forget about own... television or radio, own airlines.
Yeah.
Yep,
own
nope.
anything.
Yeah.
You own anything, and somebody writes a letter, that's enough. I mean,
Loveline, the TV show, almost got canceled about 9 months into its first run. This is like 1996, because somebody wrote a letter to Wendy's Hamburger. That Adam had said something he was offended about, and
oh,
the Wendy's Hamburger sales rep called MTV, and the show was canceled temporarily, as I recall.
Well, and here's the thing that pisses me off about it is... I know this sounds, it's like we can't be measured, but what about the much larger group of people who get pleasure and aren't offended by the words
of
somebody?
And who loses access to something they want because of a pain in the ass person.
Because somebody who can stay away from the product, like not go into the store, not use the airline,
not
tune into the radio, not tune into the television... They have a choice. The other people, it is removed from them.
They no longer have a choice.
I find outrageous, and it's always made me angry that the 1% is running around the 99% through the nose.
Yeah.
And my answer to the 1% is F you.
I hear you.
Go F yourself. And by the way, I wish everybody, and we've had this happen with Loveline multiple times. We had it happen with Scientology. We had it happen with GLAAD, the gay and lesbian whatever organization. My attitude is come blow me. All you idiots, get in line and start sucking. I could give a rat's ass about your crappy organization. And by the way, it's only because of your crappy childhood that you got to lash out, whatever. Get lost. And if everybody would just tell these people to get lost, we could have a much better society. We could watch what we wanted. We could eat peanuts on airplanes. We could do lots of very liberating activities. And so here's the thing. I said something. Now
let's talk about what would actually happen.
Yeah, I don't remember what I say about anything on any given night.
Yeah.
I try to do this radio show as if nobody is listening. and I'm not.
No. It's just though you and I are talking. And the caller.
It's a better way to do it because I say horrible things about my family, for instance. I say horrible things about friends, about people I have to go see the following day. And I, you know,
but you don't leave anybody out. You get
I don't
me,
leave anybody
you get
out.
Jewish folk, you get Indians, you get everybody.
We get everybody.
You get Hawaiians. You get as soon as you find a group, you'll attack.
Well, Hawaiians are stupid. There's no doubt.
Look
about
at Stacy. Stacy, you're Hawaiian. Stacy is not.
Well, no, look. Look, people have their strengths and their weaknesses culturally. I'm just saying, I don't know any great inventions that have come from that. Look, we sat and talked to Don Ho for quite some time. He's the smartest guy who's ever left Hawaii, and he's dumb as a rock, this guy.
Don's
like, okay, but
listen, Stacey,
look, the people know how to party over there. They know how to put a pig in the ground. They don't like to work that much. They have huge calves. They have great-looking calves over there.
This is everything you said that got us kicked off, actually.
This is everything that got us kicked off.
But it's some of it's pretty bad, Adam.
All right, well, let me just say this.
Here's the real problem.
They're exquisitely articulate, intelligent people with very small calves.
And they're good fishermen. But you know what? I've been getting the angry emails sent to me. Max keeps sending them to me. They're quite humorous.
Okay, well, listen, I think the problem is, here's the thing. Oh, I think here's what the problem was. I think it became a racist thing.
Yes, right.
When I was treating Hawaii like I would treat West Virginia.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You're saying people live in the sun.
We make fun of Florida.
Yeah.
We do nothing but make fun of Florida.
Right.
Exactly. You're still on there.
I do nothing but make fun of Riverside. I do nothing but make fun of where are there good places that we never... what's the other one with the Bakersfield?
Yes.
But here's the thing. I think the problem is that's not... Those people don't have a color or culture.
Right, and Hawaiians have a race.
Yeah,
and
but
that's why
I wasn't
you got...
talking about that. I'm
well,
just
the
talking
big
about
cat the is a racial thing.
And a rich culture.
And a rich culture.
And, and by the way, and then I take the brunt of it because the sort of general idea is, well, Drew, why didn't you rescue this? Why didn't you? I'm not. I can't stop everything that Adam says or rebut everything he says.
And you didn't do anything to encourage. You know, it's just banter between the two of you, and it was funny.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Listen,
I love Hawaiians. I love Hawaii. I'm very upset that we would get them.
You don't need the Hawaiians, but you like the island.
Drew, you're
like the Hawaiians.
You were agreeing with Adam.
Yeah.
That what? But why? That, listen. Okay, hey, wait a second. Really? What am I? I'm agreeing that when Adam says something racist, that's me to start chiming in?
I read the transcript.
Really?
I don't remember you saying it, but I read
of
the
course.
Transcript.
Of course. Well,
shocking.
The transcript. Listen, the fact is, you take things out of context. I know it's in my head. I'm not going along with racist. You never hear that kind of thing from me.
I know.
That's
why I was shocked.
I may just be going, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They have you saying things, but I don't think you said them.
Well, what it is just, you know, sometimes I'm just giving Adam something to work off of.
Look, who cares?
I'm not really listening to what the intent is there or really thinking that somebody's going to take what he's saying seriously, which is the problem. I will try to pay attention to that much more.
Okay, have you ever been pulled from a city and, you know, return? Was there any chance of you meeting?
We've been pulled from cities and returned.
All the time.
MacArthur.
Yeah, that's happened a lot.
Sure.
Yeah
this could happen in Hawaii. I'll get picked up on another station.
It happened in San Francisco because of a letter-writing campaign about 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Okay, All right. Something to think about. Yeah, because, just know that you guys, you're appreciated. Seriously.
Well, thanks, Stacey.
Well, thanks. But
both of you.
This is how smart Stacey is. How can you call Hawaiians smart?
She's not living in Hawaii.
Yeah, but she's Hawaiian.
She had a triple-digit IQ. They tossed her right out of the place.
Stacey. Now, what if I'd gone along with Adam when he just said that? Right? Would I have been serious? You think I was serious if I got along with that? No, we're kidding around.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know what, the vast majority of people, they agree that it's, you know, it's just you have a sense of humor and you're going with it. It's just that small handful of people who, you know, voice their opinion. And
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing, too. If you read a transcript of almost anything,
it can sound bad.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, some worse than others. And I agree. If anybody pulled any kind of transcript from this show at any given point of this show at any given night of the week,
it would sound bad.
It would sound horrible.
I was going to say the show in print is heinous, yes.
It's heinous.
Yes, yeah.
It's heinous. I'm sure it is.
Well,
but
I'll listen to you guys whenever I'm in the mainland, and hopefully you guys will return. We'll get started on something.
Thank you. What about Mahalo, for Christ's sake?
That's what I pointed out. I'm like, hey, he brings the language every day.
Mahalo.
That's right.
The guy said
one
he wanted
of the three
apology.
Words they have.
An owner, one of the owners. All right. Screw that.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
You may need a new station.
Look, I don't know how many cities we're on. I don't care. I don't know when we're pulled. I don't know when we're added. I don't know about any of that stuff. I don't know who's listening. I just assume no one is. And like I said, including my family.
Oh, that you must make that assumption.
Yes.
You couldn't go home at night otherwise.
Call my dad a pussy 7,000 times on the radio.
Yeah.
Maybe more. Yes?
That's the nicest thing you say about him.
Okay. Look, I have my opinions. They're coming out. That's it.
Again, if you read a transcript of what I just said.
Yes.
That would sound horrible.
All right.
But I'm just giving you a little something back. Of course,
I don't wish your dad ill.
I don't have negative feelings about your dad.
Hawaiians are geniuses. I think that's obvious.
Stacey is. Stacey's Hawaiian. Therefore, all Hawaiians are geniuses.
With needle-thin calves. Listen, all the great scientists have come out of Hawaii. All the great inventions. Telephone, Hawaiian invention. Telegraph, Hawaii. Television, Hawaii. Automobile, airplane. All out of Hawaii. Where do you think penicillin came from?
To the surfboard, come on.
Hawaii. Yeah. No, they got inventions. They got the super long shorts. They got the surfboard. And they got the bong. I think the bong. I got to check into that. All right, anyway. They're good at what they do over there. And maybe we can add letter writing campaigns to that short resume of things they're good at now. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, buddy boy, ready to get back in the moments?
Yeah. Let's go, Ace.
Yeah. All right. Did you have trouble during the break figuring out what day it was?
Oh, yes. Well, I had a lot of activity patient-wise this week, and so I always had to go in. I always had to do stuff. But I would still get confused on weekend and holiday. And
I got screwed,
got
up,
kind of screwed up.
New Year's screwed everything up.
Yeah, what day was that? Was that Friday? Was that Thursday?
It was weird, yeah. Yeah, so hey, but good times. So hey, that's a good sign, by the way, when you're not sure. Like I said, it's either a good sign or a horrible sign when you don't know what day it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Either means life couldn't be better, or you just have you're in the tank. You're like some you're in the hole in prison, and you haven't seen daylight in like 27 days, or you have dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that.
Or your late night radio host who had a couple days off. Speaking of in the tank, I've got a thing coming out on ABC Primetime, January 28th, something like that, where they follow me in the tank. They follow me through a course of treating a few patients, and it really came out nice. It's
really?
Very interesting, dramatic stuff.
When's that air?
Like January 28th, something like that. That's the tentative date.
Uh-huh. All right.
So keep your eyes open for that.
We'll keep our eyes open. What did you say that was on Dateline?
Primetime, ABC.
Primetime.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of those shows. I watch a Primetime, I watch a Dateline, I watch a 2020, I just start yelling at the TV set.
Why?
Oh, they had this, the one I watched last night.
I do
night
too, by
before,
the way,
because
they don't see what's really going on.
They never asked. And the reporters have to play devil's advocate.
That's why they have to be journalists, but I'm not a journalist, and we bring out what really is going on with these people.
They had some, it's a great story. This chick, next time you think your life sucks, this woman, she's from the South. She marries some guy, guys like captain of the football team, strapping, good looking, outgoing guy. Somewhere in his 30s, he starts like beating on her, and he becomes violent, and then he has trouble with his motor skills, and blah, blah, blah. He has Huntington's disease.
How did I know that?
Well, because you're a doctor.
Yeah.
What the hell? You tell me a door's dragging, I'm going to tell you that the jam's out of whack.
That's
you're
good.
A doctor.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And I was dragging it on a little. I knew you'd jump in.
Right.
Also, I wrote Huntington's down here. You don't think you saw it. Here's the point. Guy has Huntington's disease, a horrible disease.
Yeah.
It's passed down. Okay, or a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Anyway. He starts beating the crap, and it turns out he's got this thing, and now his muscles are starting to fall apart, and his poor wife is having to take care of him. And before you know it, the guy's like in a diaper, and he can't speak, and they're feeding him through a tube. And he tells her, he makes her promise that he'll never drop him off at a nursing home, but she has to break the promise at a certain point because now her two sons start showing signs of this Huntington's. And apparently, you stop me if I'm wrong, it starts kicking in the mid-20s or early 20s.
Yeah.
And there's a test for it, although they didn't have a test for it back then. Mm-hmm. And then there's people don't want to know whether it's going to kick in or
not.
But
a lot of people that way.
They drop their keys and they have to question themselves what's going on. You know, is this horrible disease for which there's no cure that's just going to eat my body, just ravage the body?
Horrible.
So at a certain point, she drops the... Now she's taking care of the three. She puts the father into the home. The father dies. The poor two sons have seen the father just wither away from the big strapping lumberjack guy to the guy who's crapping himself and the hands tremors and the feeding tube. Now the sons are in their mid-30s, know that this is their fate.
And they say, don't let that happen to me.
They say, don't let that happen to me. Then the mom says, no, I'll take care of you. So now the mom's taking care of, like, the three of them, and this poor woman's, the bags under her eyes, size of duffel bags. This poor, these women, they got that 1,000-yard stare, just seeing their husband and their two sons just being ravaged by a disease, and they're taking care of them and lifting them out of bed and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Eventually, she's got to take the two kids and put them in a thing. And the two kids are now bedridden now, and they're just using it. They got a catheter in and a feeding tube, and they're not, two sons are like, you got to kill us. We want to go. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just lie here and then get fed, peeing into, you got one tube going in, you got another tube going out, basically. So one day.
And by the way, it's not just like they're all there. They're in and out. They can barely.
Yeah, in and out. So eventually, after some begging, and then the kids are all over the place. Yeah, they're in and out, but they try to kill themselves. It didn't work out. She comes in there with a gun, puts a bullet in both their heads in the waiting room. She's a mess, obviously. And it's like, well, we got to prosecute. You know what I mean? And again, and I was just screaming at the set, slippery slope. One of these jackasses is gonna say slippery slope because
because
it's a slippery slope, Drew. Because if you let her walk, then what's to stop a guy from gunning down his entire Little League team and walking? We got to let him go.
Of course. Because we've gone down that slippery slope.
Yeah, gone down that slippery slope. Because the mother,
and next, Hitler. You've got somebody destroying lots of people.
Can't do anything. Why? Because the one grieving mother put her sons with advanced
insanely, by
Huntington's.
The way, with absolutely no motivation. Insanely. Yeah. Bizarre.
Yeah,
bizarre.
Gotta let it go.
Yeah. Slippery slope.
Gotta do it.
Slippery slope.
Yeah. So I'm screaming at the TV set, which is, look, that's the most loving act a mother could do.
Of course.
These two guys were just, and by the way, how goddamn selfish is it for you to decide? You know, it's all that, well, who's playing God? You can't play God. Talk about playing God.
That's right.
You got a guy who's lying in his own fecal matter for years while his body just deteriorates and he stares up at the ceiling.
Now you're playing God by keeping him alive.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course you are.
Yes, that's right.
I'm sure the guy's dying to die.
And
who's
would, in nature, in God's world, would die years before.
Years ago. He'd been eaten.
That's right.
All right. We got to take a break. I don't know how many calls we got to, but I'm outraged with those posies and they're playing God. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
How about those LSU Tigers?
Yeah. LSU.
So does that put SC at number one?
Whatever.
I don't know. I don't follow the college game as close as I should, but
really?
I'm going to go with SC just because they're in our own backyard.
Did you watch the game on New Year's?
Of course.
Crazy passing game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, good times.
Yeah.
You know what show I was watching over the New Year's? Queer Eye.
Oh, yeah.
And
I did, too.
Yeah. Enjoying it. Yeah. And look.
What is it about many of the guys? This is something that's, you know, not I don't think, actually here discussed on Queer Eye.
Mm-hmm.
But of the five shows I've watched, two of the...
Straight guys?
Not straight.
Could be gay.
Definitely gay.
Yeah.
Just playing straight.
You. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
All right.
And or gonna remain straight, but if light had gone a slightly different direction,
it
wouldn't have been straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that?
It's the guys who are easily made over. They use product, certain way to put the product in your hair.
It's not just that they're looking gay when they're done.
Yeah.
They're gay.
Yeah, they're gay before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got this to say because my wife is like, oh, we got all these things I got to do. I realize the difference between me and the Queer Eye guys, I mean, the guys that need the help, I know what I need to do. I'm just not doing it.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Well, that's what straight guys do. That's the point.
Yeah, but these guys are clueless.
Yeah.
I could cook up a nice meal. I could pluck my eyebrows. I could put a little product in my hair. But
you also design stuff. You do the interior design and stuff.
Well, but look, what do I care? I got a sense of humor, and I'm married. What do I need to do?
This is somebody without a name who is 20, who wants us. She's going to describe herself, and you're going to name her.
Okay.
All right. Mystery caller.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, earlier I heard your segment, and you were talking about, you know, Gertrude being, you know, you heard it, and it would just totally turn you off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, come on. That's pretty low, right?
Yeah, why? Is your name Gertrude?
Well, no, I'm just saying, what if? And here, I'll describe myself for you. And just assume that my name is Gertrude.
Mm-hmm.
And then how stupid would you feel after you heard how I look?
All right, no.
Just let's just go
what
with it.
What's going on with this show?
Just go with it. just describe. We'll call
right,
it
let's
the
say
name.
I named you Gertrude. Go ahead, Gertrude.
All right, here I go.
All right.
I'm 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
I'm 20.
Mm-hmm.
I've got mid-length hair.
Mm-hmm.
I go to cosmetology school.
Ooh.
And it's kind of like a reddish brown with blonde streaks.
Uh-oh.
I've got hazel eyes.
Hazel. I like that. That's another old, ugly name. Hazel.
Yeah. Well, that's not my name.
All right. Keep going. Go ahead. Hazel eyes.
Okay. I wear a size... Well, it varies. I wear like a size 2-3 pants.
Mm-hmm.
I run all the time.
You run?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
36C.
Yeah, nice C cup. Solid.
Well, you have any ethnicity?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'm white.
No, no.
Always a plus.
No, okay, so we got Namer. Okay, go ahead, Adam.
All right.
And that's about it. And
all right. Go ahead, Adam. What's her name?
Well, so how stupid would I feel if I named her
Name actually were Gertrude?
Because she's so smoking hot.
Because she's so hot, yes. I know. Just name her. Let's get it over with.
All right, I'm gonna call her Stacy.
I'm gonna call her Esther.
Oh, Drew.
Oh man.
That's Drew, a slap in the boobs.
You're kinda terrible, aren't you?
What's your name?
What's my name?
All right. Look, what the hell was that? I'm the only one who's supposed to waste time on this show.
You're right.
Oh, I understand that. I said a half hour ago it'd be nice if people were named according to hot.
Yes.
So we could, no,
not just
sort
hot,
it out.
But how they, so the name would create an expectation of who they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we figured out that Christy was, used to be a good
hot
now
name. Everyone wants to know what her name is. Come on.
It's going to take 10 minutes.
I know.
Yeah.
What's your name?
It's Alicia.
Alicia.
Oh, well, that's...
All
right. Destroys everything.
Yes.
How dare you, Adam?
Alicia's a push.
You know what names are hot, though?
Hmm.
The names of guys.
Yeah, girls. That's why I said Sam.
So, like, Bob is the hottest.
Well, yeah, except for Bob is weird because that's lesbian Butch.
Bob is meant when somebody like wore a Bob haircut for a while and somebody starts calling her Bob.
But Bobby. Same or Bobby. Bobby's
Bobby
not
Brown.
Bad. But that Bobby is sometimes Barbara get called Bobby. Stevie is a hot. Stevie and Sam.
No, but Stevie Nicks is so not hot.
Yeah, well, I know you're bringing Stevie Nicks up as a negative example, but Stevie Nicks was smoking hot from age 13 to age 45. I mean...
Yeah,
not a good example of an ugly person named Stevie.
Right.
And if you take a look at some of those Fleetwood Mac records from the early 70s and you see a 22-year-old Stevie Nicks there, you're going, wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't remember that. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
You're too young.
All right. Okay.
He's too young.
All right. There you go.
He wouldn't know about it. You ever heard of Louis Armstrong?
You could know what Stevie Nicks used to look like, couldn't you? I mean...
I know. That drives
well, no, I don't like look up pictures of her from before. Sorry.
All right. Take my word for it. Nobody'd better look at music except for the Phillips chick from the Mamas and the Papas, who was crazy smoking hot too.
Michelle Phillips.
Yeah. Wow.
But there was a 70s look too, and they kind of had that.
They had it.
Yeah.
Super hot. All right, you ready?
But there was sort of a, I don't know, there was a special.
Oh,
I don't know what
cares.
That was. Yeah. Joe.
Hello.
You're 16.
Yeah, hi.
What's up?
I hooked up with my friend on New Year's at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hooked up with her again the day after.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to keep on going, and I don't know how to tell her that I don't really want to.
All right, well, don't hook up with her anymore.
Just don't be available. Just give her a sort of a slowdown sign.
But we were good friends before.
Well, you screwed that up.
Nah,
you might have screwed
you might
that
get
up anyway.
You might get back to it. You're just gonna have to wait a little bit.
All right, thanks.
Just don't you don't have to get in a weird sit down with her. Here's the thing about people. People are like they're like raccoons sniffing around your garbage. Put the lid on tight. Don't throw any ribs away.
Yeah.
And raccoon starts heading over to the neighbor's house.
That's
eventually.
Right.
They just move on.
Hmm.
You don't have to go out there with rock salt and your shotgun or turn the hose on. You just kind of. Whatever they were sniffing around for,
they don't find.
They move on.
Unless they're disturbed, and
unless they're nutty raccoons.
Yeah,
I've had a few of those.
Yeah.
Even the nutty raccoons,
eventually.
They just hang out longer.
Right, that's right.
But eventually,
they cause more trouble. They hang around. They tip stuff over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then they leave too.
Yes.
Provided you don't go out there and start throwing stuff at them because they grab it and eat it.
Then they get weird, yeah. Then you go out and start screaming at them and you throw a lemon at them and then they eat that and then the next thing you know, it's weird again.
Yeah.
Are we, we're talking about people though, right?
Huh?
I got raccoons that live next to my ear. You hear raccoons getting it on or effing or fighting or something? They're crazy.
What do they do?
They make scream crazy noises. Yeah.
We usually have one like with a bunch of little ones come around.
Yeah, that's always cool. I like when they follow them.
Yeah.
That's the best thing in nature with the ducks or the raccoons or anything, the possums. Whenever they're walking, the mama's walking, they got the three or four behind them. Mm. Then you clip one in your car. Samantha?
Hi.
You're 22?
Yes.
Wake up there.
I'm just sort of curious as to, because I listen to you guys all the time, and I'm starting now just to date this guy who told me that his father passed away when he was 13. He's 25 now.
Yeah.
And just sort of knowing, having that kind of, like, traumatic thing happen early in childhood, just sort of wondering from you guys, like, what kind of characteristics should I sort of expect to see?
Yeah, he's
like,
all right.
Probably nothing.
He's fine.
Probably nothing.
His mom... Well, it depends. It
depends on what the relationship was like with the dad.
Well, also, some of these guys passed away because after a little too much meth, the cops tried to restrain him with a nightstick and cut his windpipe off or something like that. Like, if he's an out-of-control guy, how did he die?
Air Force.
Air Force?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Plane crash.
Perfect.
That's perfect. You can idealize them, can maintain a relationship that's it's perfect. Oh, it's better than if you actually had a father.
Yeah, really.
In some ways.
Yeah, because real dads are just disappointing.
No, it's all right. If he'd been 7, it would have been different. But 13, he should be okay.
That's what real dads do. They drive around old Volkswagens and rent Herb Alpert records from the library. That's what real dads do.
Yeah. I mean, he's, like, from the Midwest, and he's very, like, you know, takes, like, he dotes over his mom and, like, really...
All right, that's a good man. It's a good man.
Samantha, you're looking for trouble here. You're looking for trouble. Why do you want this guy to be a problem? Hello? Is it hard for you to be close to somebody? It's hard for you to be doted over yourself?
Yeah, where's your dad? That's the real question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the issue here.
Yeah. True. I asked this question to Jimmy a little bit earlier in the week, and we both arrived with the same number.
All right.
What do you think the average age kids turn the corner on mushrooms? Not the drugs, the vegetable, and start liking mushrooms. All kids hate mushrooms, but at a certain point...
All have turned by this point?
Yeah. The average age, the kid, everyone hates mushrooms when they're kids.
Yes.
But then at a certain point, you start realizing pretty good in an omelet, pretty good on pizza for some God knows what the hell.
Yeah.
Taking little pieces of paper and tearing it up and dropping it on
paper.
Top of your pizza. Yeah, you take a little piece of construction paper and drop it on top of your pizza. Why it makes it so much better, but it is for some reason. What is the age you turn the corner? Now, I'm
the
not
average
saying,
age or the age of which everyone has turned the corner?
Come on, Drew. I don't know what the... Look.
Because I'm the average age would be about 16.
The average age that you turn the corner. Yeah,
16.
The average age. 16?
Yeah.
Jimmy said 16. I said 16, too.
I think by 19, everyone's turned the corner.
Or if you haven't, 20. You haven't. But Jimmy said 16. I said,
What is that? 16. And why is that funny?
I don't know why it's
funny.
I've decided, though, it means we're all geniuses. I know it seems sort of self-serving. All right. 16. We have a doctor. We have a late-night radio show host. We have a building, a building entrepreneur. That's
you, myself. You're both,
We've all decided 16 years of age. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy and
by the way,
put a finer point on it. Not on your 16th birthday, maybe 16 in 3 months.
And about a 2.5 year variance on that. In other words, it kicks in no one before 13 and a half, 14.
Right.
And then it's done by 18 and a half, 19. Everybody by then.
Right. Yeah. Let's just do a quick experiment. Desiree?
Yeah.
15.
You're 15.
Yes, I am.
Do you like mushrooms?
Actually, I've always liked mushrooms. It's kind of
always?
How do you eat them? Do you eat them raw?
Anyway, raw, cooked on pizza.
Always like them. Always like them. Hold on a second. Oh, wow. Nate?
Nate, yeah.
Hello?
Nate, you're 16.
Yes, I am.
Do you like mushrooms?
On pizza, yes, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
And how long would you say you've liked mushrooms?
Maybe about 3 years.
3 years. So you turned at maybe 13 or 14.
Yeah, around there. Other than mm-hmm. that, before.
14. All right. That's that variance, yeah.
It's almost unfair to use the pizza, though, because kids love
pizza.
That's
the pizza, first. Yeah, first.
Yeah, but that's the first.
And thing. That's because somebody ordered a pizza and it happened to come with mushrooms.
So they ate
it's
it
the
anyway.
Only pizza
but
they ate.
The question is Nate. Nate,
what's that?
This is Adam, and I want you to be honest with me, totally honest, okay? If you were ordering a pizza alone 2 or 3 years ago, and you could only have one topping, would it have been mushrooms?
No.
Oh, the phone cut out.
Fantastic.
That's said, God probably telling
no.
us to quit
he
effing
no.
around.
Not said no.
Aaron?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah.
When did you start enjoying mushrooms?
I've always liked them.
No.
You didn't
possible.
Like them when you were three.
Well, probably not. I probably threw them at people or something.
All right, Aaron, what's your question?
Actually, can I say something totally off the subject?
Sure. Off the mushroom subject?
Well, off the subject entirely, back to that girl that wanted you to name her.
Yes.
It's so funny you said Stacy because that's what I was thinking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. I was thinking Stacy.
Great minds, Aaron.
And yet she tried to screw us up on the mushroom thing.
She really did.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Aaron.
I just recently started to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm. Cigarettes. Tobacco.
Yes, smoking tobacco. Yeah. I don't do anything else. But I wanted to know, I'm on the nicotine patches, but I want to know, is that the best way to do it, is wean yourself off slowly or just quit cold turkey? Because I am really having a tough time. It's like I'm...
The best way, from a scientific standpoint, the combination of treatments that has the most success is the Zyban or Wellbutrin with nicotine replacement, either the gum or the patch.
Well, the best way to quit smoking... is to never start.
Don't pick it up. Oh, don't start. Yes,
I love that guy.
Yes.
That's my guy.
Yeah,
that's
the usual radio host.
I love that good blowhard guy. Yeah. The only way to prevent the spread of not to have say, the just not to smoke. I mean, that's the easiest way.
And that's the only sure way.
Only sure way to quit smoking is to never start smoking. I see. Is that for everything? Same with heroin, right?
Never start the heroin.
Interesting. That's a great
obesity.
Piece.
Don't eat.
I always want someone to go, hey, that's a wonderful piece of advice, you a-hole. Get the F out of here. And thanks for nothing, you retard. Yes, Aaron. So that's the best way.
Is to get on the well.
No. What Drew's saying is number two. What I'm saying is the best way to quit is to never start.
But there are
other people who are interested in quitting who haven't started yet. And I'm telling them the best way for you people who haven't started smoking yet
don't
to
start.
Quit is to not start. Or start and build a time machine, which is my plan. Go ahead.
But so listen, nicotine replacement is great, whether it's gum or patch. It's a good way to go.
It is a good way to go.
It's a great way to go. And don't worry about coming off the pad. If you stay on it for a long period of time, it's not a big deal. If you have trouble coming off it, anything is better than inhaling that smoke. Well, or chew. Smokeless tobacco is also better.
Yeah. Now, why, let me ask you this, Drew. Why is the nicotine gum okay, but the tobacco dip so bad?
Because in the gum, it's just a complex that holds pure nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
Tobacco is got all kinds of crap in it. The carcinogens are not the nicotine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You ever heard of tars and all that crap?
Yeah. But in a smokeless form, are they're even more pronounced that way? I mean,
the carcinogens?
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly because it's a more concentrated version. People put big doses into their mouth.
What would you rather have your kids do?
Yes.
Would you rather have them, let's say, age 20 to age 60, would you rather have them dip daily chewers or smoke half a pack a day?
It's pretty close, pretty even.
Or get into gay porn.
Smoke half a pack a day.
Rather smoke half a pack a day than dip Is it dip? Is there a finding out that there's more problems with dipping?
It's that the cancers of the mouth and tongue and larynx are so devastating,
yes,
and so likely that
from dipping.
That it's almost where you can sort of do things to help prevent the heart disease and help the lungs and
right.
decrease the risks of cancer and stuff. So
all right, so you hope they do one or the other.
That's what I'm hoping.
Dipping is good for the girl, though. Kind of keeps guys away a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Rot those teeth out.
All right. Let's keep moving forward here. Who do you want to talk to, Drew? Who's dating their neighbor over here? Their male neighbor in love?
Nate?
Nate, the dude, is dating... Nate?
Yeah?
You're 16, you're dating your 13-year-old male neighbor?
Yes.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Well, we're not...
What grade are you in, Nate?
I am a sophomore in high school.
Mm-hmm. Freshman, sophomore. That's 10th grade, Drew.
Yeah, and he's in 8th grade, the boyfriend.
Right.
Right? The neighbor?
Right.
And are you both gay?
Yes.
Yeah, it's 13 and 16 is a little bit much.
Well, yeah. I know. I've been told that by a number of people, but he...
How many people, by the way? Here's what I'm saying.
How many people know about this?
Yes.
Well, all of my friends, most of them are girls, not to mention my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, your mom, wait a minute. Your mom should be freaking out.
Well, she's... my mom's always kind of been one of those kind of people who she doesn't necessarily agree with everything I do, but she's kind of told me that she knows she really can't stop me, so she just kind of lets me go anyway.
That's a great mom.
That is not parenting.
Depending on the thing. Like, she's not going to go let me go rob a liquor store or some shit like that.
Yeah, but theoretically, you may be harming this 13-year-old.
Yeah, but he is a turd burglar. That's what they call it, Drew. May not be robbing liquor stores, but he's burglaring turds. Hey, Nate.
What's up?
Are you having sex with the guy?
Yes.
You are.
No, that's not okay. That's
you're
illegal.
Gay.
It's illegal.
Drew, please.
Well, okay. It's kind of hard to explain because, I mean, I've run across a lot of 13-year-olds and middle school age kids and everything. He is... You'd have to know him. He's different. He's a lot more mature and...
He's built like a 14-and-a-half-year-old.
You sound like all the 19-year-old males we talked to dating 14-year-old girls. Oh, you got to see this 14-year-old. She's so mature. He's still 13.
Yeah. And you're having anal sex with him?
Yes.
Really? We have to know that?
Well, hold on a second.
Now it's sounding bogus to me.
It's lines, yeah. Okay.
Now it goes bogus, right there, boom.
Well, it's tough. Here's the thing.
13-year-olds are not, no.
Okay. We don't like the idea of a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old having sex any way
any,
slice
any
it.
Gender
it's
combination.
It's marginally more egregious when it's guy on guy.
No. No.
Let's face it.
No.
Let's face it.
No.
Well, I know you say no, but...
No, I mean no. I mean no. I just think that's a 13-year-old being exploited. That's no good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a matter of degree. I'm saying that whatever it is, we're putting a zero behind it. We're supersizing it when it's when we're getting into sodomy right here.
Yeah, but okay. It's not... It's bogus, then.
It's bogus.
Yeah.
Okay. Nate.
What's up?
We're going bogus on this call.
You are? Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't see why, but okay.
All right, Nate.
Well, good luck. You're not. You didn't have a question. You're not taking our direction.
Well, no. You're just
announcing. What's your question?
What's the question?
My initial question was that he's not very open about. Just to me, we've been together almost a year, and
so since he was 12.
Yeah, and I was.
Oh yeah.
15 almost. But,
it is 15.
Yeah. Yeah. What's you should know this 12-year-old. You got to know the 12-year-old.
All right. It's him ask the question, Drew.
My question is, because he is kind of, he's not open about being gay like I am. And, you know, we can't go out on dates. We can't go do certain things because his parents don't know. And, you know, they start asking questions and just a whole bunch of crap. And
so
you know,
what's your question?
My question is, as a result of this, us not really getting to, you know, be together, should I break up with him? You know,
all right. Well, hold on a second.
That's not a question.
It's stupid, and this is bogus because you, with your neighbor who is a male, can hang out as much as you like, because his parents don't know that you guys are dating. So then it's just a couple of guys hanging out. I mean, you can go to the movies, you can go to the ball game, you can go to the park, you can do whatever you want.
When I say I'm open about being gay, I'm not kidding. The neighborhood knows I am.
You're gay.
Wow. Okay, Drew, we understand. Okay, the neighborhood knows you're gay. Then why don't his parents know?
That's the thing. His parents do know. So that him being with me, that would begin to get his parents a little suspicious, don't you think?
I do, but his parents have already seen you guys together quite a bit, haven't they?
No, we have to, when we are together, we have to, I mean, we have to really hide what we do.
How do you do it? What do you do to hide?
Puts his penis through a knot hole in the fence.
How do you get together?
I have to, like, meet him, you know, when he's coming home from school, or when my mom's not home, he has to, like, sneak into my house, or when his parents aren't home, I have to sneak through, you know, sneak into his house, and, you know, we have to worry about his neighbors.
Okay, but let me explain something, by the way. When you're 16 and you're banging a 13-year-old, that's all you do. You should be sneaking around. And by the way, all the sex you're having, like, before 18, that's all it is sneaking. You don't get to do it on the sofa during Passover. You know what I mean? Oh, we have to sneak. Of course you have to sneak. You're banging an eighth grader. It's
illegal.
It's against the law. It's not good for him. And Nate had a certain cold calculation to him that frightened me just a little bit. So,
wow.
Nate, I'm glad you're comfortable with yourself. We don't condone the relationship.
No, being comfortable with the gender is, or sexuality is very different than being a predator, which is what you are.
And we'll be back. But it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty. Let's get to the phones and speak to Jennifer. Jennifer 17. Jennifer?
Hello?
Hello.
I'm 18, but.
Okay.
Sorry.
What's up?
Okay. Me and my boyfriend have been together for 9 months, and he's younger than me. He's 17. But. He cheated on me probably in, like, the fifth month of our relationship.
He had sex with somebody?
Well, not quite. I mean, they hung out, they talked a lot on the phone and stuff.
From a woman's perspective, kind of worse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You
know,
intimate with her.
Oh, yeah.
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 And, I mean,
guys are so much more primitive. Guys are like, oh, he marked her. That's no good. She's spoiled.
Oh, no, look, a guy could... If there was a guy who wanted to go see the movies that you don't want to see, spend time with, go to the spa with, have lunch with...
With your girlfriend. Yeah.
If he never touched her, there's zero problem with it. As a matter of fact, great. Fantastic.
But if he marked her with his man proteins...
Yes.
Bad.
Yep.
Yeah. Spoiled.
Right.
Soiled.
Tried.
Done.
Right.
I tried.
He tried to have sex with her.
It didn't work.
Of course, he was feeling so guilty.
How do you know it didn't work?
Well, he told us he's one of his good friends, and I've also talked to her, so.
And one of the good friends told you about this?
Yeah.
Good friends into you.
Huh?
The good friends into Jennifer.
Well, I don't really care. I mean, that's not what I'm...
So she knows that.
Okay, all right. And by the way, you're 18 and this guy's 17?
Yeah.
This is a bold move for, you know, I mean, when you're 17, you're dating an 18, it's a year, big deal. That's a big deal when you're 17 to 18.
She just turned 18, they're both in the same grade kind of thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still?
Okay. So nobody knows she's 18.
All right.
So, I mean, my question is, I'm having a really hard time, like, I, like, took him back, whatever. I love him, like, I do.
Sure.
I've never felt that way about anyone else, but, like, I do everything for him, and there's, like, not a lot that I wouldn't do, and he says he wants to, like, you know, get married in the future and all that stuff, which I kind of can believe, just because his parents and, like, they have that kind of a background also, but yeah. I can't get over the fact that he did that. Like,
okay, then cut him loose. You're 18. That's the way these relationships go. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to end.
Supposed to not get over things.
Yeah.
It's fine.
By the way,
and
you staying with him would be not such a healthy thing.
And by the way, actions are supposed to have consequences.
Right.
You step out, you get busted.
That's it. There will be other guys, Jennifer. You're 17, 18. Marriage is 10 years away. Don't.
And you're just
trying to figure out what you want.
Oh, and these proclamations of I'll never felt like this before.
Of course you've not. You've never been 18 before.
Like carpooling to junior high 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Of course you never felt this way before.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, you shouldn't be able to use that until you're 25, at least 25. That'll be one of my mandates when I'm in charge. You cannot start throwing around things like, old school and stuff like that when you're 19.
No.
And you can't say, like, I've never felt this way before, or I've never loved this way before. You got to be at least 26.
I think 28 would be better.
All right. That's like a 25.
26. All right, okay. 26. All right.
Let's make it 25.
All right.
Here's the thing. This is going to spoil it. Drew, how many times have you had this in a relationship where something came up, commonly referred to as a deal breaker? Like this is something you couldn't get past.
Yeah.
You weren't going to get past it. Whatever it was, you found out she was with one of your friends, or she cheated, or you cheated, or, you know.
It's just something. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you know you're not going to let her get it. You can't get past it, but you try.
Mm-hmm.
You stick with it.
I know.
All that does is shove it back seven months.
It's a mistake, yeah.
And it never
always
works.
A mistake.
Fine. Move on. Okay.
Oof.
And by the way, we'll cheat again, this guy.
Absolutely.
He's just getting started.
Yeah.
17.
Cheaters cheat. This guy's got a long road ahead.
17-year-old guys who, by the way, when you're 17 and there's an 18-year-old piece of ass who's letting you have regular sex with her.
And she's hot and she will... do anything for him.
That's you
and
hang on to that with both hands.
Yeah. You should be like starry eyed, like, oh my God, what happened?
Right.
And this guy's cheating. Come on.
But Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Were you having sex with him?
Yeah.
All right.
This guy's
a bad guy.
Bad news.
I don't like him.
A B C D.
Yeah, and you got that little girl voice
little
too,
bit.
Which always scares me.
All right.
Okay. Find a new guy.
Alright.
Why are you doing everything for this guy?
I think I have a problem with, like, I get attached really easily. Like, I've had one boyfriend before, like, that's a serious boyfriend, and, like, I would do anything for him, too. It's just, like, when I'm committed, I'm not going to go and...
No. That's your rationalization about it. You don't have good boundaries, and you get sucked into things, and you can't get out.
Right. And let's do this, by the way. Here's what we should all do, except for me, in 2004. Let's stop taking... negative personal attributes and spinning them into something strong.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand these people. Hey, listen, I speak my mind. And if you can't handle the truth, well, then you shouldn't be around me. Now, a lot of people are put off by me because I tell it like it is. No, they're put off because you're an asshole. That's why they don't like being around you. Not because you speak your mind.
Yeah.
Hey, I say it like it is, and a lot of people can't handle the truth.
I love the euphemism. I have a strong personality.
Yeah. No.
Or he's got anger. He's what is it? He's got a temper on him. Got a temper.
He's a passionate man. Yeah. No, I've heard
how
this.
Dare you?
Somehow,
how dare
in the last 5 years, it's become in vogue for people to describe themselves as truthful people who aren't going. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a truthful
people
being.
Can't handle the truth, and I speak the truth.
A lot of people can't handle that. So it's like, I'm so much more evolved than everybody else.
Well, everybody lies except me.
And everyone lies except for me, and a lot of people aren't mature enough to handle
They aren't used to the truth. No one has ever spoken the truth to them.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
You're a blowhard,
you're,
a-hole.
No, you're hostile and you're aggressive.
You're hostile,
people do
you're
not
aggressive,
like hostile and
you're
aggressive.
An a-hole, you're blowhard, you're pompous, and nobody wants to deal with you because you're an a-hole, not because you're truthful. A-holes. And by the way, your explanation of you being truthful is just one more rung in your blowhard a-hole ladder, by the way. This very description is why people hate you. Jack-offs. Hey, and if you can't handle... Oh, shut up. Stop giving the explanations about why people hate you. And look, if people don't like you, they don't like you because of you. And I'm tired of this thing, too, where there's this sort of this thought that... Well, we just pick a certain amount of people we don't want to be around, and then a certain amount of people we idolize, and that's how it is. It's so unfair to those. No, everybody gets judged. If you're a good person, if we like you, fine. Mm-hmm. We like you. And if not, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's how it works, everybody. All these people like to sit around and question. Like, I do the work of 20 employees, yet I get fired from every... No. Now, who is that? Start looking in the mirror. If you don't get invited to the party, and someone else got invited to the party, it's because we like the other person better than you. Yes. Why is the question? And it's not because we're bad people. It's because they put something forth. Or you put something forth that was negative. Just start owning it. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You got all weekend to sit home and think about it. Let's talk to we didn't invite you to par because you're so truthful. Desiree?
Hi.
You're 15?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay. I cut, you know?
You're a cutter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been doing that for about 2 months now.
That's a way of trying, yeah. You're not trying to harm yourself, you're just trying to sort of release feelings.
Basically.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's hard. I've had, out of Dr. Drew, you may know what this is, trichomania.
Trichotillomania?
No, it's trichomania, like trich, where you pull out your hair.
That's trichotillomania.
Trichotillomania.
Yeah. Sorry.
Synagogue mania, where I didn't want to pick up.
Anyways, I've had that for like...
Yeah.
Forever, basically, since I was really small.
Yeah. How come when you said church mania and Drew said trichotillomania or whatever he said, and you stuck to your church one?
It's trichotillomania.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I mispronounced it.
Okay.
Anyways, I've had that since I was small. And I was thinking, I was wondering if like cutting was sort of trying to replace that.
Yeah, it's another kind of a behavior. People, the amazing thing about humans is they want to make sense of all of our behaviors. And a lot of our behaviors, a lot of our thoughts do not follow any sort of rational sort of structure. And the brain is basically trying to manage overwhelming states, trying to often dissociate. It's usually trauma survivors, Desiree, that have these behaviors. Were you neglected or abused or sexually abused or something growing up?
I had it before that.
I understand, but well, again, you were in the situation.
You're in a family that
where that happens.
Planning on abusing you.
Yeah, be that as it may, the point is the cutting particularly is a sign of trauma survivorship, and it's often associated with something called dissociation, and it's a disconnect of certain emotional centers of the brain from other parts, and the body only has very primitive means to try to manage these feelings that you don't have access to consciously or intellectually. The wiring's just not there right now, and so people will do drugs, and people will cut, and people will act out sexually. They're just ways to try to feel better, and they don't work, but it is a sign of how seriously disturbed things are, and it needs treatment.
All right. Well, a little therapy for you, baby doll. Mm-hmm. And you heard it from Dr. Drew. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's the good doctor, Dr. Drew. Good to be back there, kiddies. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. You ready to go here?
Yeah.
Talk to Sydney? Sydney's a hot name. See, I would have to check and see if she was hot when I'm in charge. Yeah, that's a hot name. Sydney?
Hello.
You're 24?
Yes.
That's a hot name.
Thank you.
Are you good looking?
Of course.
And like I said, there's a certain...
You're fat.
Drew, please. There's a certain responsibility in a hot name because, like, if you hear you're being set up with Sydney or your study partner, Sydney, or your tutor's going to be Sydney, and this chick named Sydney, you think, and then she's a behemoth. It's like, ugh, Christ. You know what I'm saying? It hits harder than if her name is...
Well, you're disappointed.
Yeah, if her name is Sue, you don't go in with any, and Drew's wife's name is Susan, but I'm just saying, if you have a sort of neutral name, like even Jennifer or Sue or something, you're not going with expectations. Could go good, could be a disaster.
Right.
You get Sydney, you go in with high hopes, yes? Yeah, it's true.
So what's up, Sydney?
Well, my question is, I've been dating this guy for about 2 or 3 months, and I have a 6-year-old, and he has a 2 or 3 month old, and we talk, you know, quite a bit and stuff. But he's always at his ex-girlfriend's house, always. And I'm not quite sure the situation there because I don't really talk to him about it or anything. But
I thought you talk all the time. How do you avoid something like that's real important in his life? What do you talk about?
I don't want to pry.
You don't want to pry because you're afraid of what you're going to find.
What do you mean always at the ex-girlfriend?
You mean it may not be the ex-girlfriend. Ooh. Maybe his live-in girlfriend and Sydney's something on the side. Well, they talk all the time. Whereas this is, again, that we're so honest, we talk constantly.
Does she have a hot name?
This is the elephant. This is the elephant in your living room situation, Sydney. There's a huge.
I think it's Jennifer.
Ooh, that's
hot. It's a little hot. That's a brunette name. It's not a blonde name, by the way. That Jennifer. But, brunette.
I've never seen her.
But this is a
never
huge.
Never seen a picture of her.
Uh-oh.
I have no idea what she looks like.
How about the child? Have you seen the child?
Yeah.
Do you talk
blonde
about?
Hair. She has blonde hair.
But no. But you talk about the child?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You don't talk about the mother?
Mm-mm. It's kind of an unsaid, unspoken thing.
Yeah, it's unspoken because you're refusing to bring this major issue up. This is everything in your relationship.
Well, it's the child's mother. I mean, what if the guy says, well, look, I'm picking up the kid. I'm dropping off the kid where the kid's parents.
He lives there.
Oh, he lives there?
He's always there.
Well, I said always there.
I think it's because he lives there.
What would he say? Does he live there?
Do you know where he lives, Sydney?
No, actually, I don't.
Don't know where he lives. But we have an honest, we talk all the time, Adam. Perfectly honest.
No,
great communication.
You don't know where your boyfriend
talk
lives.
All the time.
How long have you been going out with this guy?
Almost 4 months.
All right.
How often do you see him?
You're not boyfriend and girlfriend with him. I mean, you think you are, but he doesn't. He doesn't think you're that.
How often do you see him?
Wow, hold on a second.
The motor's running slow.
Is our phone line?
No, that's her.
That's just this, like, how often you see him? 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, and then the is supposed to be what you're doing to buy time.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Sydney, let's go. Let's pick it up now.
Okay, let's pick
okay.
it up.
How often do you see him?
6 days a week.
Okay, and he spends the night?
No.
Never.
He's never stayed at my house.
Because he goes home to his girlfriend.
He's never stayed at your house. Why do we get the 6-second count before you answer? Please pick it up, would you, darling? Or maybe I didn't bring that up 20 seconds ago. Okay. You're angry or whatever. Look, don't screw your kid up.
Yeah.
That's your number one goal. Number two is you don't want to ask this guy questions because you don't want the answers.
You know the answers.
He's never met my daughter.
Good.
He's never met her.
That's good because he's not going to be around very long.
How can he be over six days a week or six nights a week and never met your daughter?
We usually go out and have breakfast or lunch or dinner and stuff like that.
Okay, and why is it you don't know where the guy lives? Don't you think that's a little suspicious? Haven't you ever asked to go to his house?
No.
Okay. Why don't you ask that question next, and you'll find out what's going on with this guy. And by the way, what does he do for a living that he can go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but not be there at night?
Ask me what he does for a living.
Yeah, let's ask her. Sydney, what does he do for a living?
1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I'm done with Sydney. I feel sorry for her.
I feel sorry for her kid.
I feel more sorry for her kid. But, look, I don't know. I don't know what you want from us. And listen, I hate to sound like a colossal prick, but really, you can't have the good three count before you answer no to something, especially on the yes or no's. These aren't complex mathematical equations we're asking. The guy's never spent the night. He's never spent the night. You don't have to do a good long five count before you answer no. Let me tell you a neutral name that does nothing for you. Like, okay, you're in college and you find out the name of your study partner you're going to meet in the library and you're single and you know it's a female. Carol.
Hmm.
Carol's like...
They don't even name kids Carol anymore.
I'm going in with no I don't know the word I'm looking for, but I'm going in with no expectations whatsoever. Carol now. Christy? Oh, I may have to pound one out.
Carolyn?
Nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Nothing. but you get to Christie, you got to pound one out.
Carolina.
Before you get there. Carolina, you get a little excited about. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Lindsay?
Hi.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Now, Lindsay, you're going with some expectation
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
That's well, a hot name.
First off, I want to say, Adam, I basically idolize you, so.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. That's a good girl.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, well, I went in the hot tub with a guy, but, like, I don't know. I don't know him that well, but whatever. And basically, I was expecting just to, like, hang out in the hot tub, but he ended up kind of getting a little, like, rough with me.
Mm. Did he try to rape you or something?
Well, I don't know. He started, like, touching my chest and all of that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I didn't want to, like... I'm going to start seeing him a lot just because he's friends with some of my friends.
Yeah.
And
right. yeah, so, yeah, don't be afraid to hurt his feelings. The answer is, yeah. hey, cut it out. If you don't want somebody touching you, no, cut it out. Listen.
Were you able to stop him?
Not really, no. But
she's got that voice.
Yeah. But, like, my first question was, could I get pregnant from that? Because, guys, when they get boners, they, like, pre-ejaculate, and that holds them.
Was his penis inside you?
No.
So, only if his penis is inside you.
What, he squeezed your boob? You want to...
She's worried that something's floating around the hot tub, I guess.
God knows what's in that tub, but it's dead.
Don't be alone with this guy ever.
Her name's Miriam, though.
Don't...
Oh, this is Miriam?
Oh, who are you talking to? Yeah, don't ever be alone with this guy.
Okay.
All right. I don't know why Anderson said she was Miriam when it says Lindsay on the...
It's that fake caller girl.
It's the fake caller, yeah.
Oh, is that Miriam, the fake caller girl? Yeah. Really, that's good. And Anderson picked that up.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
But the
she was she transformed herself, Miriam.
Breathy and cry thing was a little bit her thing. Let me just talk to this guy. Good call, Anderson. But can you find out off the air if that was her?
No, it was her for sure.
Oh, it was her for sure. You just know by the name? I mean, know by the tone?
Yes, because I do best ofs, and I hear way too much of this show. Like every 2 hours you hear, I hear four.
I don't hear the two that I'm here for. By the way,
I may kill myself.
Please. Please.
Ashley.
Ashley?
Yeah. Hi.
You're 21 and you gained 15 pounds after starting on the patch. A birth
Maybe
control
10.
Patch?
Yeah, the testosterone.
Okay, it's the estrogen component. You may want to have one with a little weaker estrogen, more progesterone.
Yeah, when I got on it, they told me that the patch is basically just, it's like all the same. There's no different levels of it.
On the patch. Yeah, you may have to go back to the pill.
She's on the air for 26 seconds. Yep. On hold for how long?
107 minutes, 14 seconds.
All right, but at least we got there. We'll be back. Hey, well, there you go. A little love line for you.
Good times.
Back, feeling good. Angie Everhart will be in here tomorrow night. I think she's doing the Celebrity Mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking good as usual. And I did that Toyota Grand Prix with her, too.
Oh, that's right.
We got that to discuss. Then the Jeremy McGrath, the greatest motocross rider that ever lived, is coming in the next day. And I'm going to get some tickets for him because at the Super Bowl of motocross coming up, Drew. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That is good times. So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.